All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Samech Vav 166. We are picking up on Kuf Samech Hey 165b, and we're picking up right by the Gemara. So remember again, that's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. So tell everyone, I'm supposed to remember again, we ended off with the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah was discussing a case where a person has a shtar, and the shtar has coins, but doesn't list the denomination or the amount of coins. So what do you do in that kind of case where coins are mentioned, but the number of coins or the amount of money lent is not explicitly mentioned? So the Mishnah went through all the different variations. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Amar Kesef. So we'll say, if the document says Kesef, let's say again, I lent Reuven Kesef, but it doesn't say how much. In Pachos Midinar Kesef. So we'll say, ultimately, again, that's no less than a silver dinar. Kesef dinarin, vidinarin kesef. If the shtar says kesef dinarin or dinarin kesef, then the halacha is, but again, it doesn't list how much, in pachos mishnei dinarin kesef. I will say that is not less than 2 dinars of kesef. Then 2 silver, then shnei dinarin kesef. Kesef bidinarin. So we'll say, let's say the pasuk says, now this is an interesting formulation. Kesef bidinarin means silver in dinars, so ein pachos mimishnei dinari dahav kesef. We'll say this would be the equivalent of 2 gold dinars worth of silver. 2 gold dinars worth of silver. So Amar Mar, kesef ein pachos mimishnei kesef. So we'll say Mar said that again, if the shtar says kesef, is not less than a dinar of kesef. Ve'imanaska, so I don't know, maybe kesef just means a bar of silver. How do you know that it means? How do you know that kesef is not less than a dinar kesef? Amar Rav Elazar dekasa be'matbea, because in the shtar it says a coin, right? A kesef coin, a silver coin. So I will say, once it says a silver coin, I know that it's not less than a dinar. Ve'ima priti, so say that ultimately, again, I will say, perhaps it's prutos, silver prutos. Amra Papa, Ba'asr de losagi priti de kaspa. We're talking about a place where what? Where lemaisa, again, they do not use silver prutos. Okay. Ten rabbonim. So we'll say the Gemara uses a parallel braisa. This time, instead, by silver is talking about gold. Dov, if let's say the shtar says that I lent Reuven gold, ain't pachos midinar dov. Ultimately, again, then that is not, so unqualified gold is a gold dinar. Dahav dinarin, vidinarin dahav. What about if the shtar says gold dinarin or dinarin of gold? Ein pachos mishnei dinarin. So we'll say that's not less than 2 gold dinars. The Gemara says dahav bidinarin. What happens if it says gold in dinars? So how much is that? Ein pachos mibishnei dinarin kesef dahav. So we'll say that would be the equivalent of 2 silver dinars worth of gold. Amar Mar. Dov in pachos midinar. We'll say last line kuf samech hey amud beis. So the Braisa said that if you say dov, if you just say gold, so gold's not less than a dinar of gold. Imanaska, maybe it means a bar of gold. So Rabbi Lazar, the cost of matbea. So Rabbi Lazar says no. The case is we'll say it says a coin. So we already know that it's dealing with a coin and not a bar of gold. Top of kuf samech vav. Veima priti. So we'll say maybe it's referring ultimately again to prutos, 2 gold prutos, to which the Gemara says priti de dava lo avdi inchi. So we'll say the Gemara says that people do not make prutos out of gold. Pruta was the smallest denomination of coins, and people did not make prutos out of gold. Zohav bidinarin. So we'll remember again, the Braisa said that if the shtar says zohav bidinarin, ein pachos mivishnei dinarin kesef zohav. So remember again, that's the equivalent of 2 silver dinars worth of gold. Ve'ima dava pricha. Maybe it just refers, we'll say, to like gold dust. Dava pricha means literally ground up gold dust. To which the Gemara says, betray dinari dava kamar. Because it says again, in 2 dinari of gold, since he says, ultimately again, zav bidinarin. So therefore, by definition, we understand that he's referring to some denomination of coins and not simply to go ahead, and not simply to gold dust. Amar Abayi says, Yad bal shtar ala tachtona. So we'll say Abaye says that at the end of the day. So first of all, I'm sorry. Let's go back for just a second. I said the Gemara is saying over here the following. in this case of Dov Zahav Bidinarin. So what does it mean if he says, you know, the Shtar says, I lent Reuven Zahav Bidinarin, gold in dinars. So the Gemara is suggesting that what that means is 2 silver dinars worth of gold. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. How do you know that's what it means? Right? Perhaps, again, it means trade dinari dava. Perhaps it means 2 gold dinars, right? And not 2 silver dinars worth of gold. Maybe it just means 2 gold dinars. To which the Gemara says, Rabbaye, yad balashtar ala tachton. So also, Abaye says, you're right. It may mean that. It may mean that. But when you have an ambiguity in the shtar abosai, so ultimately, again, the balashtar, the person holding the document, is at a disadvantage, which abosai is another way of saying what? Hamotzi lechavero alav haraya. So, for example, I have a shtar that says, I lent Reuven zahav bidinarin. Zahav bidinarin. So the Braise interpreted, what does zahav bidinarin mean? It means 2 silver dinars worth of gold. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it means 2 gold dinars, right? Which is much more money, obviously. To which the Gemara says, you're right. But the shtar is ambiguous. Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya, right? I, the holder of the document, the burden of proof is upon me that it is the higher amount of 2 gold dinars. And therefore, another Rabbi says, yad balashtar al-tachtona. I, the holder of the shtar, who is the extractor, I have the lower hand. I am at a disadvantage. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Now, I will say, the truth is, that goes for Tzionin, goes ahead, Tzionin erases this, and just has this bracketed, this paragraph, this parenthesis piece, is just read as, Ihochi Reisha Nami. If that's the case, then what about the Reisha? Right? So I will say, what about the Reisha? Remember again, the Reisha was the first case in the Braisa, where the Braisa said, Kesef bidinarin, right? If he said silver in dinaris. Remember again, the way we interpreted that was in pachosni b'shnei dinarin dahav. That was 2 gold dinars worth of silver. See, if you're going to tell me now that yad balashal tachtona, that when he says kesef bidinarin, both says, so what should that mean? That should ultimately mean 2 silver dinars, because that's the lower amount. To which the Amar Sa'amar of Rashi says, Reisha de kesef dinarin, seifa de kesef dinarin. Oh, Abosai, to which the Gemara says, amazing how one little letter can make such an incredible difference. The Reisha is talking about the case where he wrote dinari, right? And the Seifa is talking about where he wrote dinarin. Abosai, what's the chiluk between dinari and dinar? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. It's actually almost right across. Reisha, the cause of dinari, demashma dinari zahav, aval dinarin stam mashma shal kesef. Abosai, whenever, so the Gemara suggests over here that dinari always refers to gold. Dinarin refers to silver. Therefore, Rabbi say in the first case of the Reisha, the Braisa says kesef bidinarin. We'll say when it says kesef bidinarin, ultimately, again, it's talking about 2 gold dinars worth of silver. In other words, at the end of the day, the value of the debt is in silver. It's just measured against gold. There's 2 silver dinarim worth of gold. In this Sefer Abosai, it uses the lashon of dinarin, which ultimately again means silver. Therefore, we interpret it to mean 2 silver dinars worth of gold. To which the Gemara says, "Uminatimra de shiny bein dinar le dinar." So, how do you know this difference? In other words, Abosai, remember, we've seen these two words used, interchangeably throughout the entirety of Shas. So, why is it that Lamaisa again here we're making this distinction between dinari and dinarin? How do we know that dinari means gold and dinarin means silver? So, as we listen to this, Disanya, because we're going to write to the following. Ha'isha shahayu ala safek chamish vledos, safek chamish zivos. We'll say if a woman had upon her five questionable births. They both say, what does this mean? The halacha is that after a woman gives birth, she not only has tumas leda, right? So tumor associated with childbirth, but she also has an obligation for karbanos. Now, those karbanos of childbirth only apply if she gives birth to something resembling a child. If, let's say, she miscarries early on, and as a result, again, does not give birth to something that resembles a fetus, so there is no obligation of these karbanos, or what we call karbanos leida. So the Gemara says over here, what if you have a woman who will say, again, gave birth, quote-unquote, or miscarried 5 times, but it's a suffix whether or not she's actually chayeves to bring these karbanos later. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Disnan b'shili parakama dekrisos ha'isha sheyesh ada safek chamesh ledos chamesh pamim hepila safek ruach safek vlad. So she miscarried 5 times. And again, it's not clear. She wasn't clear whether or not what she, if when she miscarried, did she miscarry what the Brice is, what the Gemara is calling over here, a Vlad, a child, or a Ruach? So Ruach, of course, literally means just air, nothing. So in other words, was it considered to be a child, or was it nothing? So the Gemara says, or for that matter, Safek Chamesh Zivos. Take a look at the Rashbam. Kigon, what does this mean? Five Safek Ziva situations, Zava situations. Kigon. Mikolkalos leminyana v'rasa chamisha chadashim shloshi yamim ritzuf in bichal chodesh safik b'meinida safik b'soch echadas oyom shebeinida leminida shem yimei ziva v'chayeves per carbon. So we'll say over here what the Gemara is pointing out is the following. So this is actually quite interesting. We'll see this in Maseches Nida. So when we think about zava, we often assume that it refers to some type of discharge, which it is. Although I will say, understand that from a technical level, a woman could become a zava when she bleeds during her non-menstrual cycle time. In other words, that if a woman bleeds at a time when she's not a nida, that could make her into a zava. So the Gemara Maseches Nida has a whole construct for this, that essentially, again, certain, with a period of 11 days between each menstrual cycle, if she bleeds, it can make her into a zava. We don't have to get into the technicalities of it now. The point is that a woman bled 5 times on 5 consecutive months, that she thinks was during her non-menstrual cycle time. And therefore, again, she has 5 consecutive months of where she's a potential, a suffix zava. So the Gemara says, the point over here is, you have a woman who has either of these situations. And by the way, five is just, there's nothing sacred or special about 5. This is just the example the Gemara is giving. The point is, she has a number of these sveikos upon her. So she has 5 different, 5 sveikos in terms of, did she give birth? 5 different sveikos, is she a zava? Now I will say, understand, each time a woman gives birth, each time a woman is a zava, she has an obligation to bring certain karbanos. So I will say, so what's the halacha in this situation? So the halacha, she brings one karban, and ultimately, again, that one karban allows her to go ahead and partake of other karbanos, so sacrificial items. And I both say, one karban takes care of all of the doubtful circumstances. She need not bring multiple karbanos to each of the doubts. Rather, one karban takes care of everything. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. So, remember again, the karbanos in this type of situations are 2 turtle doves. One turtle dove for an ola, one dove ultimately for a chatas. So we'll say again, now without getting into the technical, these karbanos are not consumed, because since they're brought out safek, therefore they are not consumed. Next Rashbam says, so we'll say, remember again, we don't like bringing karbanos ala safek. We don't like bringing karbanos in doubt. Why? Because when you bring karbanos in doubt, you can't eat them. Rather, they're shechted, they're offered, and then they're buried. So we'll say, we don't like doing that. Therefore, again, what we do in this kind of situation where she has these multiple cases of doubt, we'll have her bring one set of karbanos, and that's it. On the flip side, the Gemara says, Hayu ala chamesh leidos vados, chamesh zivos vados, mevia karban echad va'ocheles bizvachim, va'asher ala chobur. We'll say, let's say she did give birth 5 times, or she was a zava 5 times, so she brings one set of karbanos, that allows her ultimately to partake of sacrificial items, but she still has an obligation to bring the rest of those karbanos. So listen to this. So we'll say, why are we getting into this now? So ma'isa va'amdu kini b'yushalayim b'dinarei zav. One time, there was a circumstance where the prices of birds became exceptionally expensive. And the price of birds, kina literally means a pair. Well, so whenever you're bringing bird offerings are almost always brought in pairs. So one time the price of birds, the bird offerings skyrocketed, and literally a pair of birds cost dinari zav. So I will say, this is why we're bringing down this brisa, right? Cost 2 gold coins. So I'm going to be shimming on the Hamo'ol nazeh. We'll say, so literally this means, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash. So Shimon Gamliel says this is ridiculous. Rabbi will say whether this was some level of price gouging or it sounds like it was price gouging. Shimon Gamliel says, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash that I'm going to do whatever I need to do to bring down the value or the cost of the birds to dinarin, to silver coins. We'll say, this is why we're bringing down this price. Remember again, the Gemara wanted to suggest there's a difference between dinari and dinarin. Dinari means gold coins, dinarin means silver coins. That's why the Gemara is bringing down this price. So again, the price is telling us that a pair of birds used to cost dinari zav, two gold coins. Now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I'm going to bring it down to two silver coins. How did he do this? Rabbi says, nichnas lebeis din velimeid. So he walked into Beis and he made the following ruling. Ha'ish shaya la'chamish vlados vados, chamish zivos vados. Rabbi Gamliel paskin that Allah Chalamaisa, even if a woman has five certain births, in other words, she gave birth five times, definitively, and therefore she owes five karbanos, or she was a zava five times, what's the halacha? Mevia karban echad, va'ocheles bizvachim, ve'ein hashar aleha chova. But so Rabbi Gamliel, obviously, and how he reached his conclusion is a more complex discussion than what we're doing today. But he went in and he paskin that halacha lemaisa, even if a woman gave birth five times or was a zava five times, halacha lemaisa again, she only has to bring one karban for those circumstances. Now after that psak halacha, obviously, what happens? The prices plummet. Va'amdu amud beis. And sure enough, what happened, Rabbi Osai? Sure enough, amazingly enough, the price of karbanos went down. The price of karbanos went down to a quarter of a dinar. Look at the Rashbam. Va'amdu kinim shnei torin o shnei b'nei yona kruyin kan b'rivasayim b'rivias dinar shnei torin b'rova dinar. So say, sure enough, it went. The cost of a pair of birds ultimately went down to a quarter of a dinar. Dahainu memchas prutos. Okay, so then the Rashbam goes through the rest of the calculations. So we'll say, for our purposes, why do we have this entire ma'isa? So this entire ma'isa is here for one purpose, we'll say, which is to teach us the distinction between dinari and dinarin. That dinari ultimately, again, means gold coins. Dinarin means silver coins. So we'll say, that's how we make this distinction between the reisha and the seifa. That's why, ultimately, again, the reisha is valued as two gold dinarin, because that's ultimately the lashon that was used, versus the seifa, which is only valued in two silver dinarim worth of gold. Fine. Well, so by the way, this act, when you see gemaras like this, or you see principles like this, they're actually exceptionally helpful, because this type of distinction of dinari, even though this is the first time we're really hearing of it, but this notion of dinari, dinarim, this distinction is exceptionally important as we're going to go through some of these other cases. Fine. Weiter. Kasav milamala. So well, remember again, sorry. So remember again, the Mishnah in yesterday's daf made an interesting distinction. So the Mishnah indicated to us that Lamaisa, usually the amount of the transaction was written twice in the shtar, once in the top and once in the bottom. So the Mishnah discussed what happens if you have a discrepancy between the amount of money written on top and the amount of money written on the bottom. So how do we deal with that discrepancy? So the Gemara said quite easily, we just go ahead and we learn out from the bottom. In other words, that the bottom of the shtar seems to have what we'll call transactional supremacy over the first part of the shtar. Fine, says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Yilmot tachton min ha'alyon va'os achos, aval lo b'shtei osos. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Brisa says something quite interesting. Yilmot tachton min ha'alyon, so meaning you could go ahead and learn out, right? Learn out from the bottom to the top, from one, or you should say it differently. Yilmot tachton min ha'alyon, you can go ahead and learn out the bottom from the top, va'os achos, with one letter, but not with two letters. So we'll say, so what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Yilmo tachton min ha'elyon ba'osachos, shechasa min ha'tachton, kigon chanan me'chanani, anon me'anani. So we'll say, as we're going to see, let's say the name on the bottom of the shtar, ultimately, again, is different than the name on the top of the shtar. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that as long as the name on the bottom of the shtar is not more than one letter off from the name on the top of the shtar, then it's absolutely fine. We're not worried about the effectiveness of the shtar. For example, Chanan mechanani. Va'anan me'anani. We'll say, let's say again, the bottom of the shtar says Chanan, and the top of the shtar says Chanani. So that's fine. Meaning we're not worried about that distinction. I will say, now remember, this is a little bit different than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was talking about amounts of money, and therefore we're saying that the bottom amount ultimately has supremacy on top of the top amount. This is the reverse case. This is where ultimately, again, the top of the shtar says Chanani, the bottom of the shtar says Chanan, and the Gemara is telling us it's okay. As long as the bottom of the shtar is not more than a letter off, then the top of the shtar, we assume that all is good. So, right? The goes ahead and it says, the bottom of the shtar says Anan, top of the shtar says Anani, absolutely no problem. So the Gemara says, Maishnosh de osiostalo. So the Gemara says, so why not two letters? In other words, why is it only a one letter maximum that you could have a differential between the top of the shtar and the bottom of the shtar? To which the Gemara says, Dilma, the Gemara suggests, Mashnoshne Osios Dolo, Duma, Misrami Shame Ben Arba Osios, Vahavile Palge Dishma. Because we'll say we're concerned that what's going to happen. Maybe a person will have a name that is four letters. And if ultimately, again, the name is off by two letters, then what? That represents half of the name. So we'll say the idea being the Gemara saying is, if you're already off by half of a name between the top of the shtar and the bottom of the shtar, then we're a bit concerned. Vavadei palgi d'shma. So look at the Rashi for just a moment. So the Gemara says, avalo b'shtayim. The Gemara says, kigon chein mechanani an me'anani. So the Gemara says, Osachos Nami. So if that's the case, I should be concerned even if there's a one letter difference. How so? Dilma Misrami Shem Ben Shtei Osios, Vahavile Palgi Dishma. Say maybe a person will have a name that's made up of two letters, and ultimately again that one letter differential also represents half of the name. Ella, the Gemara says, you're right. This is a different reason. Ella Shtei Osios Hainu Taima. Rather, the reason I will say why we're concerned if there's a two-letter differential between the top and the bottom is Dilma Misrami Shem Ben Shalosh Osios Vahavilei Ruba Dishma. I will say perhaps a person will have a name that is three letters. Right? You have a name that's three letters. And if you're off by two Rabbo say, then what? That's the majority of the name. Take a look at the Rashbam. Vahavilei Ruba Dishma. Tekule Hai Vadai Loyal Finar Me'elyon. Because I will say, if the bottom name is if the majority of the bottom name is different than the majority of the top name. In other words, that if you're talking about a three-letter name and two of the letters are different from the top to the bottom, then ultimately, again, says the Rashbam, you can't ascribe to scribal error. So the Gemara says, Lo yafina me'elyon, sheshtei osios lo chisra sofer, v'inasin hamamon l'mi sheshmo kach kimo shekasu betachton. Both say, listen to this. What's the tension over here? See, the Gemara as well is entertaining an incredible possibility. When you see one name on top and a second name on the bottom, the Gemara says, it is possible that what? It's possible that the Bala Shtar changed his mind. Let's say I'm lending money. So it's possible that what? I started lending money to one person, right? At the beginning of the Shtar, I was going to lend money to A. And then by the time I get to the bottom of the Shtar, I change my mind, I'm lending money to B. You'll say to yourself, what should I do? Write a new shtar, right? But shtaros cost money. Right? So first time costs, everything costs money. So I have a great chav. What I'm just going to do is I'm just going to put someone else's name on the bottom of the shtar. And I will say again, so I say to myself, well, one second, why would I even have a havmina that works? Oh, because I learned the Mishnah, Kuf Samech Yamed Beis. And the Mishnah, Kuf Samech Yamed Beis, told me what, I will say, that when you have a discrepancy between the top and the bottom, which part trumps the bottom? So we'll say, so therefore again, halacha lemaisa, I say to myself, listen, I have an easy way of lending the money to the person I want to lend to without having to write a whole new shtar. I'm just going to go with the second name. So we'll say, so now the Gemara says, fine, now that I know that when there's a discrepancy in the shtar, I go with whatever, the bottom part, the text of the bottom, is the part that's authoritative. Fine, what happens if I have a discrepancy in the name? So the Gemara says, if the discrepancy is one letter, then I could attribute that to scribal error. Right? So, right on the top it says Chanani, on the bottom it says Chanan. Okay, fine. I'll say, here's the problem, says the Gemara. Once you get to a two-letter differential between the name on the top, the name on the bottom, the Gemara says, since Abosai, there are many names that are made up of three letters, and two letters, therefore, could represent the majority of a name, Two letters ultimately, again, is too much to ascribe, too scribal error, and they have to assume that what? That Rabbo said that second name represents what Rabbo saying? A different individual. And that it turns out that the lender had a change of heart, and the lender is choosing to give that money to someone else. Again, that's the Rashan. Look at the Rashan once more. The Rashan said, because we'll say, once there's a two-letter differential, you have to assume two different names. Because the sofer does not make a mistake with two letters. One letter, maybe. Two letters, no. Therefore, therefore, I will say, you will give the money to who? To the individual whose name is contained in the bottom of the shtar. Incredible. So the Gemara says, fine. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa. Our Papa says, pshitali, we'll say, listen to this next case. It is obvious to me, safal milamala, v'kafal milamata. So I'll say, what's the case over here? Take a look at the Rashbam. So now you have a shtar, and the shtar says, Safal milamala, safal adirim, hifkid ploni laploni, kafal milamata. So let's listen to this. A safal means like a jug or a utensil. So I'll say, in the beginning of the shtar makes reference to the fact that I gave Ruvain, or I sold Ruvain, a safal, a jug. In the bottom of the shtar, it says that I sold Ruvain a kafal. I will say, what is kafal? So the Rashbam says over here, kafal milamato, talisos sheruuyin lekapel. This refers, I will say, to small cloaks that you have the ability to fold up. Fold up. Fine. Suppose I say, you hear the distinction. In the first part of the shtar, it says that I sold Ruvain, or I gave Ruvain a safal, which means a jug. In the bottom, the kafal milamato, the bottom of the shtar, it says that I gave him ultimately, again, this kafal, this small talis. So what do I do, Bosei? So again, now Reuven produces this shtar. What is it that I owe him? Do I owe him a safal? Do I owe him a kafal? To which the Gemara says, Hakol holei achar hatachnom. Ultimately, again, everything goes after the last item mentioned in the shtar. So Bosei, just simply reiterating that which we learned before, namely the idea that when you have a discrepancy in the shtar, we always go after the last item mentioned. Bosei, and I want to be clear. What we take, by the way, from the previous sugya is some margin of error is acceptable. Right? Meaning we accept the fact that there may be a level of scribal error. So one letter we could attribute to scribal error. More than one letter, ultimately, again, we cannot. Safal, kafal, we assume that, again, Rabbi say one of two things happened. Either I changed my mind what I was giving to Ruvain, or the sofer just made a mistake. Either way, we're going to look at the last thing written as being authoritative in the shtar. So if it says safal kafal, we're ultimately going to go ahead and go with kafal. So the Gemara says, by Rapapa. So Rapapa asks the following, kafal milamala, v'safal milamata, mai. We'll say, so now listen to this. What happens with the reverse? What happens if ultimately, again, it is kafal on top and safal on the bottom? So we'll say, so what is the halacha? What is the halacha? So mi chayshinan luzvuv olo. We'll say, this is so interesting. Are we choshesh that what? Maybe a fly came along. Now we'll say, what does this mean, a fly came along? Look at the Rashbam. It's right across the Rashbam. Mi chayshinan luzvuv. Shechiser raglo shalkuf. V'na'asis samich. U'bahay nami yilmad me'olyon. Supposed to say, listen to this. So let's say it said kafal on top, and it said safal on the bottom. So rechoshesh that maybe again, the Bosei say what it means is, he gave him a kafal, and then what happens, the Bosei say, a fly came along. What did the fly do? The fly took away the base, right, the extension of the kuf, smeared it away, and that's why now it looks like a samich. Are rechoshesh for that or not? To which the Gemara says, teku. Now, what's the ramification of teku in this situation? Look at the Rashbam teku. Famotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. Dechevan de mistapek dina labeidina. Hech yotzia miyadam achzik. So, I'll say at the end of the day, the Gemara is going to say, Famotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. That ultimately, again, the burden of proof is going to rest upon the extractor. And in this case, over here, I will say, that Allah Chalmais is meaning the person has to give up the item. The person has to cede the item, has the ability ultimately, again, to go. Remember, in this case, it's kafal, safal. So remember, we're going back, I'm sorry, just the opposite. It's safal, kafal. So ultimately, in this case, we're going to go basar tachton. And if I want to be able to prove that no, it was really a kafal that ultimately the fly took away, that burden of proof ultimately is upon me, the extractor. Fine. So the Gemara says, fine. So we'll say, we're reinforcing the bottom line principle is the same. That's whenever you have a discrepancy in the shtar, we always look at the last item, the bottom part of the shtar. That becomes the authoritative part of the shtar. Do we accept some level of scribal error? Yes. When it comes to names, we will accept scribal error up to a threshold of one letter. But anything more than one letter, we assume is not an error, but rather, again, is a retraction of that which is written above, and that which is written below ultimately represents a new shtar. So the Gemara goes weiter. Also, listen to this. So this is actually a very interesting case. So I have the shtar, and in the shtar it's written, I lent Reuven 601 zuz, vizuza. Now we'll say, now, not 601 zuz, but the way it's written is 600 vizuza and a zuz. We'll say, what's the problem in this case? It doesn't say 600 of what? It doesn't tell me 600 of what? 600 of what kind of coin? 600 of what kind of currency? All it tells me, Rabbi said, the one thing I do know is that there's a zuz. That there's one zuz. But the 600 ultimately, again, Rabbi said, I don't know what it's referring to. So the Gemara says, so what do we do with this? Which is a really interesting case. So Rav Sharvia sent this shayla before Abaye. And Abaye said, Shis mea istri vizuza. So do we say that the Rabbi say perhaps it's 600 istri? The Rabbi say an istira equals one sela, which equals four zuzim. So we'll say, so Abai says, set the Abai doesn't mean, when he says 600, could it mean 600 istri? Could it mean 600 istri and one zuz? O Dilma Shismea Priti Vizuza. Maybe it means 600 prutos. 600 prutos and one zuz. So we'll say, obviously, these amounts are worlds apart. 600 istira is a significant amount of money. 600 prutos is not such a significant amount of money. So Amrale Sabai said, no. Do Priti Dilok Sivi Bishtara. So we'll say, so Rabbi says, it's for sure not 600 prutos. You know why? Because people would not write a shtar for 600 prutos. Because the way it works with prutos is dasuke maskon luhu umashvi tapav kuf samach zayin umashvi luhu zuzi. So I'll say, because before you come, we'll do the last mashmal kuf samach all of these. Because we'll say the way it works with prutos is people don't normally enumerate large amounts of prutos. Rather, ultimately, again, what people do is they go ahead and they convert prutos into zuzim. So look at the last Rashbam, Kuf Samech Vav Amad Beis. Dasuche kamaski lohu, somchin osan b'dinar, b'makom kuf tzadik beis prutos, kos fin dinar. So we'll say, ultimately, again, people will go ahead and convert prutos into a dinar. The dinar pruta conversion is 192 prutos per dinar. Umash atap of kuf samech zayin, umash lo zuzi. So therefore, Abaye says, it can't be that when it says 600, that 600 is 600 prutos, because people don't list currency like that. So the Gemara says, my amrit. So new, okay, so what are my options? So maybe you're going to say, shisme istri vizuza. So maybe you're going to say that the 600 means 600 istri and one zuz. To which of us I say, now the Gemara changes this over here again. The Gemara says, right, so fine. The Gemara says, Shismea Zuza, the Chazuza, but maybe it means 600 Zuz and one Zuz. The Gemara says, why do you assume that 600 means 600 istri? Maybe 600 means 600 Zuz and one additional Zuz. So I'll say the value of this loan or this transaction was 601 Zuz. Now, obviously, what's going against that interpretation is what? Is that it's a strange way to phrase the amount. 600 and then an additional zuz. But nevertheless, the Gemara says it could be 600. So that's supposed to say, let me go back for a second. Why doesn't the Gemara assume automatically that it's talking about 600 zuz? In other words, if the one zuz was explicitly articulated as maybe the 600 means one zuz, because why, Abose? Because if it was 600 zuz, this would not have been the normal way to go ahead and formulate the shtar. First of all, it's an interesting amount in general, 601. And furthermore, again, it could have said, shismeh ve'echad zuza, right? But it doesn't say that. So I'll say, breaks out the one zuz by itself. That leads the Gemara to the Havamina, to maybe the 600 is 600 istira, not 600 zuzi. But the Gemara says, yeah, yet, nevertheless, you have to admit that it is possible that the 600 here, in fact, does refer to 600 zuz, to which the Gemara says, you're right, yad balashtar ala tachtona. The Gemara says, you're right, because of all say you have two different ways of interpreting this, either as 600 istara or 600 zuz. We will in fact go with which interpretation? The interpretation of 600 zuz. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because yad balashtar ala tachtona, which is another way of saying, hamotzi mechavera alav haraya. That ultimately, again, I, the extractor, I, the lender, the burden of proof is upon me to prove that what? That halacha lemaisa, the 600 is 600 istara. My inability to prove that particular assertion ultimately only enables me to collect 601 zuz from the borrower. All right, so we'll stop over here. I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.